Chris Miles was able to retire twice by the time he was 39 years old. But he's not content to just enjoy his own financial freedom and peace of mind. Chris wants you to have your own ripple effect so you can live free today. He's not the financial advisor you expected. He's the anti-financial advisor you deserve. He's jumping behind the mic right now, ready to make waves. Here's Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor, welcoming you out for a wonderful show, that's for you and about you. Those of you who work so hard for your money, and you're ready for your money to start working harder for you now. You want that freedom, that cash flow, the prosperity today. So you work because you want to, not because you have to. So you have that life of luxury, that lifestyle that gives you that freedom and control over your life to do what you love, to be with those you love whenever you want to. But it's not just about your own comfort and convenience, but it's also about how you can create a ripple effect through other people's lives as well. And that's what you guys do as Ripplers. And I appreciate you guys tuning in, binging, sharing this with others. You guys have been amazing. I love watching how this show just keeps growing and growing. And that's in large part to you guys. So thank you so much for being a part of this and allow me to create that ripple effect through you. As a reminder, you can check out our website, moneyripples.com. There's a few blogs on there. They're at least a couple years old, so you'll love them. And they've got a free ebook on there called Beyond Rice and Beans you guys can download. So go ahead and check that out. A quick shout out to today's sponsor, the Garmax Group, a privately held debt fund that specializes in the alternative investment space. Garmax will borrow cash or self-directed IRA capital from private investors on above-market fixed-rate promissory notes, which provide repeatable monthly interest payments to its lenders. In other words, great returns paid out monthly. Garmax is a private and closely held diversified investment company managed by Kurt Kuffner with investment project experience in real estate, oil and gas, private commercial specialty loans, non-performing paper and collections, and a startup funding division that focuses on late-stage startups. Great company. You can learn more about Garmax or set up a time to talk to Kurt by visiting their site, garmaxgroup.com, and complete the Contact Us section at the bottom of their site. Again, that's Garmax, not CarMax, the used car company, but Garmax with a G, GARMAXgroup.com. Check them out. All right, today, so I'm going to bring back a return guest here. We got our wonderful friend, Big Mike Zlotnick, who we have here. So Mike, if you guys remember from before, has this fund called Tempo Fund. Specifically, what it does, it's an amazing fund, especially if you want to be diversified among the real estate classes and not be in the traditional market. But I invited him here for this show specifically because, you know, with the brilliance that he has and with everything that he does so well, and the big heart that he has too, you can't forget that. I mean, the guy is like has a heart of gold and is just an incredible human being, and he's brilliant too. So very few times you find someone who's brilliant and actually caring, you know. Sometimes you get one or the other, big heart, no brain, or, you know, big brain, no heart. He's got both. And so appreciate you having back on, Mike, because we're really excited to talk about what to expect in the marketplace right now, especially with the coronavirus and everything else going on.
Chris, thank you for having me back. I'm melting with all that introduction. I greatly appreciate the kind word. I try to serve, and it comes from my mother. So all the credit goes to my mother for teaching me how to serve. Anyway, I'm here. So let's talk about the excitement that's been going on.
Absolutely. Yep. As you said, word to your mother, right? You and Vanilla Ice both.
Yeah. Makes a ton of sense. Anyway, the coronavirus, right?
Yeah.
We're all scared. Unfortunately, it is likely to be a black swan event or has pretty significant risk of that.
Explain the black swan concept just for those people who are listening right now.
Black swans are events, global events or political events or economic events that disrupt the markets in a massive and significant manner. It's the same concept when you have a white swan, they don't like the black swans. They if one shows up, they usually attack it and try to kill it because it can devastate all of the white swans. So it's just a massive disruptive event that could cause a recession for the world because of the fear of travel, the fear of doing anything, just sitting and bunkering up, avoiding contagion. So that's what the black swan event is, and the coronavirus could be one of those events.
Now, it's interesting that, you know, with all the tariff trade wars going on back and forth between Trump and China, it's interesting how those had a little effect, but they didn't really do nearly as much as what this virus has done, right? It's pretty fascinating to see the differences.
Yeah, correct. Those events had some marginal implication if they impose a tariff, increases the cost of goods a little bit. But when you have supply chain broken completely, people don't go to work, they don't produce, then it creates ripples, money ripples, unfortunately, negative money ripples in the U.S. economy. The materials don't come here. People who work here further down the supply chain can't do that job. And then it causes disruption in the supply chain. And then obviously people who don't work or they don't go to school, the whole economic activity slows down. And there's a multiplication factor in the economy. When you don't go to work, you don't buy lunch, the restaurant is affected, and then the landlord is affected, and the whole chain of events triggers, basically slows down GDP on every level.
Yeah.
That's why tariffs have small impact, fear of a, I mean, of all things, what do people care most about? Of their health, right?
And
if their health is no good, they generally don't want to do anything else. So that's the risk. And that's why, the fear at times is bigger than the actual
risk event.
The fear is pretty significant at this point.
How likely do you think this is to be like a trigger in the sense that it would break the trend? You know, we've had an upward trend in the market. What do you think the likelihood that this will break that trend versus just be a little blip and then things just continue as they go?
Well, it's already broke the trend, right? Mm-hmm. It's already, and it feels now like a dropping knife. Volatility shot up. Market, it stopped the complete fall down, but it's going up and down with high volatility day in and day out. If the virus is not contained, and it's unlikely to be contained, if it spreads, we'll see the same activities, cities shutting down school systems, cities closing universities, a lot of corporations implementing telecommuting, working remotely, and all those things slow down the economy. Now, if you are a intellectual property worker and you can work remotely, that's great. You can still move your work forward. But if you're working some kind of manual work, you can't work. I mean, you can't earn the wages. You can't produce the products. So disruptions could be significant. It's harder to exactly quantify it. It's unknown. The degree of contagion is just unknown, and it may spread a lot more. It may be contained. Like in China, I think the number of new cases is coming down because they've implemented strict restrictions on travel, and it is possible to do in a totalitarian country. It's a communist country. They issue an order, you go outside, you get shot. Right? they can do it there, but here. So we are a free country. A lot of people will still go even though they're not supposed to. And right. I don't think it's even possible constitutionally unless people, I don't even know what order a president can give. It's basically some kind of emergency order to prevent contagion, people traveling, but I don't think it's going to be effective. I mean, at this point, we're dealing with a lot of unknown. And that risk is pretty significant. And the consequence is that a lot of fear and a lot of uncertainty. And it doesn't mean we can't get back on the horse in theory, but I don't think we can get on the same horse. The horse is gone. Mm-hmm. So if anything, we'll get into back to normal at some point, probably many months down the road when this thing is under control. But for now, it's going to trigger some level of recession.
Right. So with that in mind, I mean, I know there's a lot of people, and I mentioned this on another recent podcast that I did as well, where human nature just says, hey, it's going down. I don't want to pull my money out of there now, but I want to wait for it to come back up, right? And
well, look, again, back to the crystal ball. You heard me speak that phrase. I don't have one. I broke a long time ago. Can't find another one. So
yeah,
very hard to make projections. It's certainly a very speculative statement. Maybe this thing will get under control faster than we think.
Yeah.
But what can you do today, practically speaking, if you're concerned about the market? One is you can buy insurance, basically buy put options, just buy VIX, buy various trading instruments, you have to be an experienced trader, but certainly can try to buy insurance. Mm-hmm. Second thing you can do is look at the things on a grand scale perspective. The market is still up significantly from a few years back.
Yeah.
So it's still trading at a pretty high level. And I believe that the market has had the forces to put downward pressure on the market, and mm-hmm. the virus is a trigger. So the forces already existed, sort of looking for a correction, looking for a reason to take a step down.
Yeah.
So maybe it's an opportunity to rebalance your portfolio. Instead of waiting for it to go back to the peak, this may be a short-term peak anyway, and then things might get worse. So
yeah,
the call is to call to action. If you're seriously thinking about rebalancing your portfolio, you're too heavily loaded in certain types of stocks, aggressive stocks, so mm-hmm. it's a wake-up call. I mean, this thing can need to drop further. So if you take action, the markets are pretty liquid. If you consider selling, maybe now is the time. Get the liquidity out of market and move into real estate. Goldman Sachs, I think, issued guidance to the investors. Now may be the time to move into real estate. A lot less volatile, a lot more predictable.
Right.
So that's the plan to help folks sleep at night and kind of live in a more predictable manner, less volatility.
Yeah, I definitely think predictability is key. And you said a great point earlier too, with the fact there is that downward pressure that the market's been wanting to come down, right? For example, I mean, just the other day, we saw that the Feds did an emergency interest rate reduction of 0.5%, which normally, whenever I see that happening, the market jumps up at least 3%. If there was something that big, most investors would say, awesome, money's getting cheaper, that increases profits, therefore we're certainly buying, right? And you see the market go up. But the opposite happened when they made the announcement. Instead of going up, the market actually still went down, despite that, what would be normally considered good news.
Yeah, it's just the reason it happened is it's a counterintuitive thinking. Mm-hmm. In theory, the interest rates will boost the market, the economy, but it's also an acknowledgement of a bad situation,
that we're in trouble.
So people responded thinking, "Hey, the economy is in trouble, and Fed is in a panic mode." Mm-hmm. So it went to selling routine instead of a buying routine. So that's what happens when the action is intended to make the money cheaper, provide more liquidity, lower cost of capital, but it is also a recognition of a weaker economy or projection of the weaker economy. They say the stock market leads the real economy. Stock market somehow has that predictive capability, which I don't know if I agree with that or not. Right. It certainly responds to fear and information. Information is far from perfect. Mm-hmm. The fear is significant. And there are buying opportunities, of course, like in any market, there are good opportunities and bad. One thing I would certainly consider buying are the telecommuting stocks, because they, like a Zoom conference, we're recording this on Zoom.
Right.
So, but that stock is as hot as it gets. So you're buying it already pretty appreciated.
Yep. Yeah, they already kind of had that foresight, right?
Yeah. So it's the Fed means well. I don't know if cheaper cost of money can stop the spread of the virus. I probably can't.
Exactly.
So is it going to help in some way, form, or shape? Yeah. I mean, if it matters, but it's really going to do very little in the short run other than convey the message that the economy is expected now to go into recession.
Right. So you'd mentioned predictability, and I think that's such a critical thing to have a part of your financial plan, right? When you talk about predictability, how is your fund? Because, I mean, yours is more of a real estate-based fund. I compare it very similar to like what a hedge fund would look like, right?
Right.
How are you creating predictability within your own fund, with Tempo Fund?
Sure. So we're talking about Tempo Opportunity Fund. That's mm-hmm. our income and growth fund. We do have a new Tempo Growth Fund too, but we'll talk a little bit about Tempo Opportunity Fund.
Yeah.
So the fund is broadly diversified. That's one of the strengths. People talk about diversification. Well, diversification is a primary risk mitigation strategy. Mm-hmm. So when the markets are going well, people don't care about diversification, but when they're going badly, that's what the saving grace is.
Yeah.
So we're pretty well diversified. We have investments in broad range of real estate assets, multifamily, self-storage, distressed commercial debt, performing commercial debt, office, and so on.
Yeah.
So by having a broad single access point in a broad portfolio, we have approximately 90 assets in the fund. It creates stability. So if something will go down, if we have some level of disruptions on some set of assets, the other set of assets generally balance it out. That's the whole idea of creating a well-diversified portfolio. As some things move down, some other things move up.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also, we do a lot of projects where the appreciation is not expected. It's just forced through value-added work. So these assets continue to go through their life cycle. And now, where does the predictability come from? Mm-hmm. Well, because the portfolio is very well diversified. Its income that it produces is pretty much predictable. Not guaranteed, but mm-hmm. we know we're distributing, you know, in the mid sevens into 8% range. Mm-hmm. Can it go down a little bit? It certainly can. Can it go up a little bit? It certainly can. Over time, it may improve. But in the short range, it distributes that. And we have the appreciation in the portfolio, and that range is also more or less predictable because it's based on value-add projects, not based on market appreciating. That's how we get to a total target of 10 to 13%. So the return is a lot more predictable, total return, with distributions a lot more predictable, and with appreciation more or less predictable. So that's what creates stability and predictability. Other than we don't depend on the market, I don't really care what happens day in and day out. I certainly worry about coronavirus and if it disrupts commerce in every level, right? I mean, the joke is, what if people can go to work? They can't pay their rents.
Mm-hmm.
So from that perspective, there's a little bit of a concern, but you know, people, what do they take care of first? If the food, if they have something to eat, they need the place to live. Like everything else is secondary. So the assumption is they're going to try to pay their rent unless everything is in a really, really bad shape.
That's right. And that's what I love too. Like you said, like there's that basic need, there's that factor of predictability that's there. And like you said, so there's some income coming in, which is obviously great because that's that cash flow coming into the fund. But you also got some of the bigger payouts that happen, especially when there's transactional things that will happen. And yeah, I think that's the thing that's a huge strength. And I get a lot of people that sometimes will say, man, Chris, I wish I could invest in all kinds of different things. Should I do self-storage? Should I do commercial property? Should I do multifamily? Should I do this or that? And the truth is, you've got it all in one fund.
Well, that's right. So I don't know if you obviously heard me speak on the quadrant methodology.
Yeah.
Investment quadrants. Quadrant one is sort of, and two are the most conservative quadrants. They are more investment grade. They provide good downside protection. And quadrant three and four are more speculative. And quadrant one and three are income, and two and four are growth. Just if you can visualize that. So the fund has a lot of concentration in quadrant one, a good amount in quadrant two, and a little bit in three and four. So we become a single access point how you can participate in a broad portfolio of assets and benefit from broad range of investments. And people can certainly invest in individual deals. So the question becomes, if you're building a portfolio, what are you trying to do? What are the building blocks of your portfolio? And generally speaking, if you look at the stock market, the Wall Street, you still try to access good, well-diversified funds, index funds, or broad funds, low-cost broad funds. We're sort of the same in real estate. We have a very institutional waterfall. The investors get a pref, they get a performance split, a very, very institutional level, and we don't make any money unless investors make money other than the management fees. So it's a very lightweight for the fund, and significantly upside for investor. Why it's important? It's the same concept as in the Wall Street when you buy Vanguard Index Fund versus loaded funds from any of these big shops on the Wall Street. When you enter a sort of a index-like fund in real estate, you benefit from the same strategy, but you're doing it in real estate. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. And with your fund, obviously, it's accredited investors only, correct?
Yes.
And what's the minimum contribution someone would need to give?
$10 million. No, I'm kidding. No, we're small. It's $100,000. We have two funds. Perfect. Again, Tempo Opportunity Fund is $100,000. Tempo Growth Fund is $250,000. That fund is a little different. It's focused only on growth. So people looking for cash flow would not want to participate in that. But if they're looking for growth, That fund is just got a better asset portfolio, asset allocation, focused strictly on growth, can generate better risk-adjusted returns in general, but no income in the initial couple of years because its strategy is based on growth projects.
And that can be a great opportunity, especially if somebody has their IRA or even moved it into a self-directed IRA where they can have it invested, right?
And, correct. Tax efficiency. Tempo Growth Fund is very high in tax efficiency. Tempo Opportunity has pretty decent tax efficiency. We pass through depreciation and other benefits of owning real estate.
Oh, cool.
So both funds are very IRA friendly. We have no leverage in either fund, which is done on purpose. The leverage would create risk for the IRAs over UBIT tax.
Mm-hmm.
And then also leverage works both ways, especially when things don't go well. You don't want to have any leverage. So
that's right.
You pretty much have what you have, and that's what you're exposing to the investments. Mm-hmm. So,
great. That's fantastic. If people want to learn more about your fund, where would they go?
So there's a single place where they can go. Big Mike, right? BigMikeFund.com. That's the easiest way to remember. BigMikeFund.com. We do have TempoGrowFund.com, but easiest place, if you click BigMikeFund.com, it's an access point to everything.
Yep. And make sure you put that D on the end of fund. You know, you don't want to say BigMikeFund.com, right?
Well, you heard me speak, right? BigMikeFund.com, we have URL forward to a very kinky site. So if you, I'm just kidding. Big Mike Fund will forward you to BigMikeFund.com. But that's I thought awesome. About the kinky site.
Yeah.
To give people a little excitement in life.
That's right. You get different excitement, but hey, we want you to go to BigMikeFund.com because that's where the money is. So. Mike, I again appreciate it so much for you joining us. And this has been very useful information. I know this is stuff that's been on people's minds, but they haven't always been able to express it. So I appreciate you being able to share that with us and give us some really a good, clear picture, a very big, comprehensive picture, sir. So I really appreciate that.
Chris, thank you for inviting me. Greatly appreciate being on your podcast and appreciate your audience as well.
Absolutely. Well, everybody else, you know, again, check out BigMikeFund.com. You know, be able to check out and see what he's got there. Amazing, amazing fund there, especially if you want to be diversified in a safe way that's not so much tied to the stock market. So more tied to real estate. So go check that out. And everybody, I hope you make it a wonderful week. And we'll see you later.
Visit us online at moneyripples.com for more resources to help you fix money leaks and get your money working harder for you now.